Good evening. I'm Sam Friedman with the KYC News Minor Update. Alaska elections officials say they've asked criminal investigators to examine irregularities with absentee ballots in a hotly contested Anchorage State House District primary race. Alaska Public Media reports that 7 absentee ballots were requested in the names of dead people. The irregularities, which occurred in the Republican primary for District 15, are evidence of voter fraud, according to the state. But officials said they haven't identified a particular campaign or candidate that's responsible for them. In the District 15 Republican primary, incumbent Gabrielle Ledoux and challenger Aaron Weaver are separated by just 3 votes. The state mailed absentee ballots to Alaska's 40 different House districts, but of the 70 that were returned as undeliverable, more than half came from District 15, according to the Division of Elections. An estimated 10 to 20 ballots that raised authenticity concerns represent a tiny fraction of the 300 that haven't been counted in the district. The absentee ballot count started today. A moderate earthquake was widely felt by interior Alaska residents this morning. The 4.6 magnitude quake was reported at 7:18 a.m. It was centered 13 miles north of Manly Hot Springs at a depth of 9.9 miles. It was felt from Two Rivers to Minto and Manly Hot Springs, although no damage was reported shortly after the quake struck. A state-run grant program designed to help low-income Alaskans afford college only receives half as much money as the state's merit-based program. As Alaska Public Media's Aaron McKinstry reports, that's likely contributing to why Alaska has the lowest percentage of low-income students attending university in the country.
Well over 1,000 qualified low-income students don't receive Alaska education grant funding each year. That's because funding for the program dries up before all the need can be met. In contrast, the merit-based Alaska Performance Scholarship funds everyone who qualifies. The Alaska Education Grant receives half as much funding as the Alaska Performance Scholarship as outlined by state law. To qualify for that scholarship, students have to take certain classes in high school, maintain a certain GPA, and score well on standardized tests. So why prioritize one over the other? University of Alaska's Saichi Oba says his sense is that the system is set up to value merit. He's the Assistant Vice President of Student and Enrollment Services.
And I just don't think maybe there's enough understanding of what the real need is for low-income families.
The Performance Scholarship is also meant to keep college-educated students in state and contributing to the economy. Alaska isn't alone in prioritizing merit-based aid. The Institute for Higher Education Policy's President Michelle Cooper says it's a trend they're seeing across the country.
Need-based aid continues to shrink.
She says merit-based programs tend to be politically popular. They often give middle and high-income students more choices when looking at colleges. Alaska's programs in their current state were a product of the Parnell administration. The legislature has tried to cut funding or even eliminate both programs, mostly because of the state's budget crisis. Stephanie Butler is the executive director of the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education, the organization that runs both programs. She thinks there's less funding for the needs-based program in part because it was tacked onto a bill at the last minute and because money for education is tight. She says, in general, the legislature sees the benefits of both programs.
Especially when we get a low-income student out of a dependency status, where they're dependent on the state for income, and into the workforce where they can earn a living wage.
Butler says they'd love to be able to fund all low-income students. But for now, the commission prioritizes who they fund based on factors like financial need and whether the students received the award in the past. In Anchorage, I'm Mary McKinstry.
The Fairbanks North Star Borough put out a statement Monday saying that the first half of property taxes is due September 4th. The statement is in response to conflicting reports on the 2018 property tax deadlines, according to the release. The borough building, where people can pay their taxes in person, was closed and evacuated last Friday due to security concerns sparked by threats from a disgruntled taxpayer. The building, the Juanita Helms Administrative Center, went back to normal business hours on Monday. Borough code states that the first property tax installment due date is September 1st, but the Juanita Helms Administrative Center will be closed on that day, which is a Saturday. The deadline is September 4th, the Tuesday after the Labor Day holiday when the building reopens. The second half of property taxes is due November 1st. For more on these stories and others, go to newsminer.com or kuac.org. I'm Sam Friedman.